You can have all the Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio podcast with our new app. Just search your app store, Apple, Android, Kindle. We don't care what you use. Search the app store for Explorations Early Learning. Download the app. Give it a try.
It's time to lean back and buckle in. This ain't your grandma's early learning podcast. Then again, your grandma probably didn't know what a podcast was. Hey, moms and dads, puppies and kittens, caregivers and advocates, it's time for Shaking Bones. Here's Dan and Amy.
Hi there. Welcome to Shaking Bones Podcast. I'm Dan Hodgins.
And I'm Amy Ahola.
And topic tonight is going to be swearing. Uh-oh. Amy and I are hanging out together, tackling the untouchables. Sometimes we might challenge your beliefs, maybe even stretch your comfort zone. Most importantly, though, we want to make you think. We don't expect agreement or disagreement. We don't expect you to understand or comprehend. Sometimes we just want to cause some shaken bones. Okay, Amy, we got this topic. And one of the things when I do presentations that comes up frequently is the whole idea of what do you do about children who swear? And part of the difficulty for me with that type of question is who decides what's right or wrong to say in terms of the evaluation. Do you have some conflicts with that too?
You know, it's it gets to be interesting in terms of swearing. And I know I've mentioned it many times before, but my husband comes from Denmark. And in Denmark, words are words. And, you know, they have the power that you give to them. And so in terms of swearing, it's just a completely different cultural, a cultural norm for that. And so even with my own son, and, you know, some of his first words were words that weren't necessarily considered proper words for, you know, for a child of his age to be using. But yeah, and, you know, I get parents who are worried about it when their children start to use them. And of course, you know, they don't want them spreading it to everybody else or, you know, that type of thing happening.
Yeah, I once had a parent ask me, you know, why does my child swear so frequently? And then I could hear his father helping him put his coat on and on the hook in the background saying, you know, damn it, get this coat up. And I'm thinking, okay, perhaps there was some modeling going on in terms of that. But even with different families, you know, for some families, particular words or language are used on a frequent basis without any form of judgment or evaluation. And then we have families where particular words are really, really uncomfortable for them. And so it creates those conflict of ideas or ideals, and sometimes that makes it more very challenging when we're working in early childhood. The other thing is I wonder sometimes if adults don't put some moral implications into this whole process of deciding when a child uses a word, whether or not it is right or wrong in terms of making statements. So sometimes I wonder whether or not those moral implications are really concrete enough for children to comprehend. For example, when an adult says, we don't use those words here, those are bad words, that to me is a moral evaluation. What do you think about that?
You know, and I have a really hard time with that when they're, you know, words aren't good or bad. It's and you know how they're putting that into place. But yes, I definitely see that and I've heard that. You know, however, a lot of times the more power you give to it by saying they're bad words or we don't do that here, the more the child knows that, okay, I'm not supposed to do this, but especially when they're at the age of where they're testing boundaries, they know that you don't want them to do it. So sometimes they're just going to do it because it's fun and they're not supposed to.
Yeah, I think it's almost a form of verbal power that, especially if it's going to bother someone, let me say it louder. Or if an adult says we don't use those kind of words, children begin to say, don't eliminate it, they just say it softer in terms of the approach. I was in a program once where the adult said to the children, if you're going to use those kind of words, go to the bathroom to use them. And I'm thinking, this makes no sense to me because we would all have to line up at one point to say those words that she thought were not right. And yet it was okay to say them in the bathroom because she called them potty words. And I'm thinking, I don't know what potty words are. So there's that. Sometimes there are these images that are developed. By people that, and a lot of it comes, I think, from people being under the spell. I know Bev Voss talked about that a lot, where in your background, if you were raised in a particular faith, for example, or a particular experience or a particular culture, like you said, sometimes those early upbringings create some thought processes that aren't necessarily clear. But they're there because that's what we were brought up to do. Do you think that sometimes that happens?
I do. And I think that, children are exposed to so much too, not just from, their parents or the adults, but they have so much exposure through the media, even commercials, and what's there, that they're getting bombarded with this, all of the time. And so it's not unusual, for them to start using swear words. Or, sometimes it only takes them to hear something once because they're such parrots and, mimic thing, they mimic actions through their play and the language that they hear around them. And once they get stuck on something, sometimes they have to say it over and over and over again, or do something over and over and over again until, they're done with it. So, and sometimes giving that attention to it, will encourage them to continue to do it again and again and again.
Well, like you said earlier, too, it's a real form of a power, especially if the adult responds in a shocked way, or where'd you get that word? Or we don't use those kind of words, that kind of thing. It really elevates the power sometimes in that word. And like you said, if a child is looking at a way to get power, and somebody is shocked or surprised by the word that they use, then I'm going to use it more and louder. And I frequently notice that in programs that forbid the use of certain words, sometimes those words are used even more frequently by kids because it really creates a need for that sense of power. I remember in one program I was at, a teacher said, we don't use that word, we use magic words. And I'm thinking, okay, what the hell is a magic word? I don't get this, in that component. So I think it's what does that mean and for children? So it's confusing in that aspect. So I'm always saying to adults, and I don't know if you agree with this, but if you don't like something, you have to take a look at what you're going to substitute in place of it that would be just as powerful or meaningful to the child. So if a child says shit, for example, and we don't want that word being used for whatever reason, then what is the word that we want children to use? And I think that rather than focusing in on what we don't want the child to say, focusing in on what we do want the child to say. Does that make sense to you?
Definitely. And I think about my own son when he was younger, and he Dane didn't start to talk until after he was, well, 4 years old. In that time frame, I don't remember exactly. And he was going to speech therapy, and at one point they thought he might have childhood apraxia, and we went through a lot of different things. So we were just like thrilled when he said something. We didn't care. We didn't care what it was, as long as it was something we could understand. And having, you know, by the time he was four, he'd been back and forth to Denmark a couple times. You know, he knows his grandparents really well and talks there. And there, it's just another word. And so Dane at four, because he kind of went from not talking to all of a sudden, it was just like, boom. But one of his, you know, favorite things to do were to use some different swear words. And shit was one of them. And it was funny because we had spent a weekend visiting at my parents' house. And then we came home and we were talking and he said, Grandma really doesn't like that. But he goes, Grandpa thinks it's really funny. And so, you know, they grasp onto the reactions that they get from different people and, you know, try to work through why are they reacting this way if they're not, you know, saying things. And like you said, that power that's there, they latch onto that very quickly.
Yeah, my wife and I were at a parent-teacher conference when my daughter was in kindergarten, and they were coming in from recess, and my daughter yells to the teacher, why the hell are we going in now? And so, of course, at the parent-teacher conference, we got this conversation. Your daughter said, and I said, and your problem is... and, you know, again, I think... part of it was, and she didn't even notice that she had actually said it because it was just done in a real natural way. And but the teacher really responded in a way that was shocking. So I could tell by the teacher's response that Jennifer was probably going to use it more frequently than she might have if she had just simply said, well, we have to go in because there's a thunderstorm or something of that sort. In terms of that process. So I'm always saying, if a child says a word that you don't like, then what's the word that you're going to substitute it? So if a child says shit, you can always say, oh, do you have to go to the bathroom? That's the other word for bowel movement. I mean, if it really bothers you right. In terms of that approach, it just makes it more natural. Like you had indicated, that it's less I'm saying I'm going to create an opportunity for you to say this and gain power. I'm going to make it more natural in terms of that experience. Do you have swearing very often in your program?
You know, we don't. At least not right now. At different times we'd have had more of it. But like I said, you know, I work primarily with my husband, Alan, and having spent time in Denmark and having the difference in culture there, we really try not to, you know, have a reaction when it comes from another child. And so we just kind of let it be what it is. Although, you know, having other people's children too, and not having all of them have the same ideals and morals, sometimes with that, when we do hear it, we do tend to let the parents know, and, you know, and we keep confidentiality that, you know, this word was said. So if, you know, if it happens to come up, you know, this is how we handle the situation, you know, really not making a big deal of it at all. Generally ignoring it and just kind of treating it like other parts of speech. And most of the parents that we have now have been with us for long enough that they understand that process behind it.
Yeah, and I'm almost more uncomfortable with words that hurt rather than swearing. So if a child, for example, were to say, I hate you because you're black, I'm more uncomfortable about that. And again, how I respond is still going to be in a more comforting, more relaxed in recognizing that they might have noticed a skin color difference. But I'm more interested in what I would classify as hurtful words than I am with swearing words. Does that make sense?
Yes, definitely. And, you know, when words are targeted towards somebody that they don't like, and I think I mentioned this in another pod, and maybe I did and maybe I didn't, but children don't always know what good, you know, what when somebody's calling them something, whether it's something that's supposed to be good or, you know, bad. But a lot of times, you know, we always have the children, well, if somebody says something to you and you don't want to be called that, or you don't want them to say that about you, to let them know. And the children were playing, and I forget what the word was, but I think it was like poopy face or something, and they thought it was funny, and they all wanted to be called that. And then one of the little girls called another little girl sweetie, and she got so upset because she didn't want to be called sweetie, you know. And you would think that that would be completely opposite in terms of, you know, what they would want and what would be okay with them. So again, it's that observing the children and helping the child who's being called or being said something, talk to the other child as well.
Right, so the emphasis isn't necessarily on the word as much as if you don't want to be called that, or if you don't want somebody to say that word to you, or if you don't want them to say that, then it's okay for you to tell them that and to point out what it is you want to be called. If it's not sweetie or fart face or whatever, then part of it is looking at what do you want to be called. And I think that gives children a clear picture of the approach we want them to use, and it still gives them an opportunity to have self-power, to be able to state, I don't want to be called that, is a really good opportunity for children to have ownership to their problem solving, don't you think?
Yes, definitely. And the more you can, you know, the more power that you can give to the children, and, you know, the less my job is to make my job obsolete. It is the way that I look at things. When I start with really young infants and toddlers, they need a lot from me. But my
Sure.
hope is that by the time that the children leave, that I'm really just there to make sure that they have what they need. And that they're able to manage those problems and situations on their own. And of course, you know, older children need my assistance sometimes too. But, you know, if I've really done my job well and children have been with me for a period of time, when it's time for them to move on to school, and, you know, some of them still come back even after they go to school. But if I've really done my job well, by the time they're going, they really don't need me anymore.
Yes, that makes sense. I think that the challenge with swearing is frequently more how the adult responds than it is with the actual child who's making the statement. So I think we're both indicating that the shock response is not the best response, that they really need to try to think about when a child uses a word that hits their core, then how is it best to respond to that or not have any response? But whichever direction they choose will probably dictate whether or not the child is going to continue saying that word or not. So it's, I think swearing really comes down to how the adult decides to react or respond to that approach. And I think that's probably the difficulty with parents and guardians too, is that they are shocked if their child comes home and says a word that's not comfortable for them. And so they, again, they respond or react in a way that where the child really doesn't know essentially what he or she is saying, but all of a sudden now it's created a response that they either are really happy with or very confused with in terms of that approach. So I think it's like you indicated, I think it's important to talk with the parents and guardians about at the very beginning of the year about that there might be some words that come home that you might not be comfortable with.
Definitely. And the other aspect of it too, Dan, is that sometimes, you know, as children are learning to speak, they're not very clear at articulating. So sometimes they're talking about something completely different, and what we're hearing is our adult mind goes straight to they're saying a swear. I can give you a great instance here where we had construction out front for a period of time where our street was being torn up, and it was just you know, the children were all enthralled with all of the big trucks and the things that were there. But a number of the children could not say the word dump truck. It was coming out as dumb fuck. And so, you know, that clearly was not what they meant, but that's what was being said. And it was being said over and over and over again. And of course, the older children knew, you know, that's not really, you know, there were lots of giggles from some of the older children and, you know, and where some of that was. And so that's another challenge of having such a wide range of range of ages sometimes is the, you know, the reaction from the older children as well. But even for the parents, it was like, okay, I'm going to need to, you know, clarify some things for people so they know what's going on in terms of, you know, where this language piece is coming from. But when you have children who are learning how to talk or children who have trouble with their speech, keep in mind before you jump to the conclusion that that was their intent, that a lot of times it really isn't.
Right. That's a great example. I think the other thing, too, is you had indicated this a little earlier, too, that for children who have some language delays, I'm interested in them using language. And so in some cases, the language that might come out at the beginning might not be the most promising words that children use. But I think it's important they are saying words. Sometimes they're putting them in complete sentences. Sometimes they're enunciating clearly. And so we want to be really careful that we're not defraying children from using language or discouraging them from using it. We really want to make sure that children have the opportunity to speak and do it in a way that's exciting and promising in that opportunity. So I think the issue of swearing really has to be the adult's response and the adult's reaction in terms of that component. We're at the end of this session already. I think that swearing is a real crucial issue. It comes up frequently. Again, I'm really comfortable in saying that if it's a word that bothers you, the focus has to be on, and I think Amy's pointed this out clearly too, on how adults respond to the word. We don't want to give power to a word that we don't want to exist. I also think it's important to look at carefully how the child is saying it, and do they comprehend what's being said? And I think we need to help parents and guardians understand right from the beginning that sometimes children are going to bring words home that they don't comprehend or that they hear, it's just part of a natural process. Would you agree with that, Amy?
Yes, and you know, as a parent, as a caregiver, to really think about, to practice a reaction. If you think you're going to be shocked if a child says something like, you know, says a swear word or something, and you haven't experienced that yet, watch yourself in the mirror, you know, practice a reaction, have somebody role play it with you a little bit, if you feel like you're going to have a lot of trouble with it, to help you around that, because it, you know, the more experience you have with it and the more you think about it, not that we always, respond 100% the way that we want to on the first try, but the more practice you have with it, the easier it will get, because it will happen.
Right, and make sure you don't move the word that you're uncomfortable with into a moral implication. Keep it right down to a developmental perspective, recognizing that it's a child who's saying this, and that it and avoid any moral implications that might be adding some power to that word. Thanks so much for letting us shake some bones. I know this is a subject that really might shake a few more bones. If you have questions or want to continue discussion, you can email me at dkj5075@aol.com or Amy at...
You can email me at amyahola@hotmail.com or you can find me on Facebook at Child Central Station.
Thanks so much for listening.
Bye-bye.
This has been Shaking Bones. Dan and Amy will be back next week for more Bone Rattling. Stay tuned.
Hey, you want to support all the Upstairs Studio podcasts? It's as simple as this. Use our Amazon link when you shop Amazon. We get a small percentage of what you spend. You don't pay any extra. You get your stuff from Amazon. Everybody wins. Where do you find the link? Well, it's on the Explorations Early Learning app. You can find it on the Explorations Early Learning website. And if you don't find it in those places, just get a hold of Jeff on Facebook or via email, and he'll hand deliver it to your inbox. Thanks for your support. Bye-bye.